few Americans, which does not represent real American values.
The keel of the 20th Virginia-class attack submarine USS Oregon laid Saturday in Rhode Island. News and analysis at townhall.com.
It takes you to your place of work. It gets your kids to school, practice, recitals, and to visit friends and relatives. It takes you on your adventures, and it brings you home again safely. It's your car or light truck, and for most of us, it's our second biggest investment. So when your vehicle needs routine maintenance or major repairs, it just makes sense to go with the very best. Here in Shasta County, that means one thing: Advanced Automotive. Advanced Automotive is Redding's only shop that's listed on RepairPal.com, part of a nationwide network of shops that are regularly evaluated for superior training, guaranteed fair prices, and excellent customer reviews. And Advanced Automotive backs up their work with something you won't get anywhere else, a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty. Don't just take my word for it. Log on to RepairPal.com, enter your make, model, and zip code, and read what your friends and neighbors have to say. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Redding, 244-4423.
Hello once again and welcome to Boomer Tech Radio. I am Bob Belongi.
And I'm Brenda Belongi.
We are analog, living in a digital world. Welcome to the program with goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, the tech news that you can use. And we are recording in our borrowed little studio again this week. Alan is not with us because he's still taking care of his mom.
Yep.
And she had surgery. We wish her a speedy recovery on that. It was hip replacement, I believe. And so
knee
replacement. Okay. It was something that
something
flexes.
In the leg, yeah. That flexes, yes.
We have become all too familiar with all things medical over the last week, which is why we're sounding a little bit exhausted, disjointed, and
disorganized
and just generally discombobulated. But Bob is here, so we will be bobulated during the show. We want to
rebobulated.
Yes, rebobulated.
Oh, I like it. That's a new phrase.
So lots to talk about this week, mostly about our experiences. There's some news features that we want to cover. And if you want to check out some of the stories that I found interesting during the week, and some of which I'll be commenting on, you can go to the Flipboard magazine if you get the Flipboard app on your iPad or Android device. Download Flipboard and then look for Boomer Tech Radio, and you will see some of the stories that we have curated into the Boomer Tech Radio magazine. You want to, if you're listening on the air, you want to download the podcast, or if you're listening to the KCNR audio stream that goes pretty much worldwide, you can go to iTunes or Stitcher or the Google Play Store, or you can go to BoomerTechRadio.com and subscribe there or listen to the podcast directly from there. So you don't have any excuse for, I can't find that show.
And a few moments ago, no, your ears were not deceiving you. That Star Trek From the Bridge Next Generation sound was indeed my iPad. Or, well, not my iPad, excuse me. I had an iPad.
It's your Android.
It's my Samsung tablet because I forgot to turn the sound down for the sound effects off of my wallpaper.
Yeah, one of the things Android Live Wallpaper, Apple is real stingy with letting people make live active wallpapers. We actually found out the reason for that is that it's in order to do a live wallpaper, you get into parts of the application interface that Apple doesn't want developers poking around in. Android, of course, being an open operating system, isn't quite as restrictive on that. So, gentleman has a very nice representation of the classic 1980s television Star Trek Next Generation LCARS interface, which was the Library Computer Access and Retrieval System. And, of course, these people in the 1980s television show were walking around with iPads.
How do you remember the letters and the acronym?
I don't know.
What is it about your brain that you can just dredge this stuff up?
Don't ask me my kid's birthday.
Unbelievable.
If you recall the show with, of course, Patrick Stewart and the whole gang there, they were walking around with iPads. What amounted
tablets.
To
tablets?
Yeah, with tablet computers.
Tablets,
Later on, of course, the TV series Stargate Atlantis. They were actually, those were Panasonic Toughbooks that they were using as tablet computers before they really caught on.
Which were actually, even though they presented them as futuristic, they were viable at the time.
Yeah, and they cost about $4,500 a pop.
Yeah, there's that too.
And they were an inch and a half thick, but they were using them as tablets. So that's the kind of stuff we like to talk about on this show. So, during this week, we had several medical things happen, not with us. Brenda and I are fine. But she wasn't here last week because she had to go take care of a family medical thing.
Yeah, so I got some stories to tell about tech in the hospital.
Right, which is why we had a best of last week episode. And this week, we unfortunately had the wife of a friend pass. Well, she was a friend, too. And then another friend ended up in the hospital with a very severe condition. So we have seen more of the inside tech of medical than we have wanted to see.
In two different hospitals.
In two different hospitals.
In two different states.
It's been a little bit, to say it's been a roller coaster would be an understatement. Plus, this week we have a major Blanche Entertainment, the company that we cooperate upon. Would that be, she and I both operate it.
Yes, cooperate.
We cooperate.
And it's not cooperate, it's co-operate.
Yeah. Has a major event involving video shoots and editing and sort of a crunch time going on. So there's more than a few distractions in our lives. But we're going to do the best we can with this show. On top of all of the above, day before the 4th of July, my Jeep had the check engine light come on. Dot, dot, dot.
Darn tech.
Yeah. And when the check engine light comes on, you're never quite sure if things are about to come flying out from under the hood or if it's something very, very minor.
It just means you need to pay attention to it right away. Or as soon as possible.
There were no fluids leaking out. There were no parts bouncing off the pavement. So I went ahead and went home. As soon as we could, we took it to our mechanic, who happens to be our sponsor of the radio broadcast, Advanced Automotive of Reading. And
they're still looking into it.
They plugged in their device, their little reader thingy, and said, well, it's not the oxygen sensor, which is what I was hoping it was, because that's a cheap fix. So we'll find out just what has gone awry. But it led to the fact that this morning when Brenda dropped me off at the radio station, we commuted together, in order to get a ride home, this was a perfect opportunity to do an Uber. And you're saying, Lonji, you do a tech show and you're just now getting around to trying out an Uber? We are not urban-type people here. We live in far Northern California. When I tell people we live in Northern California, they go, oh, Bay Area? No!
We're a 3.5-hour drive from the Bay Area.
To some people, the furthest extent of California is Sacramento. Sorry, there's an area the size of Ohio north of that before you find yourself in Oregon.
Sometimes that's a good thing.
Yeah, this is a good thing. Anyway, Uber is a relative newcomer to getting from point A to point B. It's been adopted huge. It's an incredibly successful company, not without some controversy because the traditional cab companies hate them. Cities hate them because, and states are not real happy about it because of the way that Uber structures their company. They have almost no employees except at the corporate headquarters. The drivers are not employees. They make that very, very clear and have been taken to court several times about it. And so far, they have been successful in fending off the lawsuits. So I said, you know, this is an opportunity to use Uber. So those of you to whom this is old hat, I apologize, but I'm going to kind of go through this because we have listeners who are sort of late adopters of the technology.
Well, not only that, if you've been curious about how it works, here's an explanation. And as we do many times here on Boomer Tech Radio, we talk about our personal experiences with tech and how well it worked or didn't work, or what we think the pros and cons are, and you know, maybe what its potential success or failures might be.
Yeah.
And so it's always good for I always think it's interesting to hear when other people do that. Yeah. And it's like, what was your experience? So
yeah, so what I did, of course, I just simply downloaded the Uber app, which is available on both iOS and Android. Fairly easy installation. You link it to your cell phone number. And the first thing I do is send you a confirmation code to make sure that that is, in fact, your phone, because what they're doing is they're going to track your location so that they can get the car to you. Now, for some people who are really into privacy, there have been concerns about, does Uber continue to track you? Does the app continue to track you after you have done your ride? And is it sending stuff back to the mothership? Well, if you're really worried about that, switch off your, when you're not actually using the thing, switch off your location services. The application, the installation went fairly quick and dirty. I did the install, got the secret code to put it in, and then in order to pay for it, we have been really hit hard, and we're very careful people. We've been hit hard with credit card fraud.
It's like four times this year.
Several times, and we are pretty on top of this stuff because we talk about it all the time, and we've gotten nailed. So what?
Well, there's nothing you can do to
right.
protect. If you're purchasing things online, you open yourself up to that vulnerability, yes, but you could go to the store and have the same problem.
Yeah.
Your stuff can get stolen and used,
mm-hmm.
period.
So as it turns out...
No matter what you do.
Yep.
How careful you are, you know, whatever.
As it turns out, I had about 100 and some odd bucks left in my PayPal account from a transaction. I use PayPal about 3 times a year because I don't buy stuff as much on eBay as I used to. And so I had some money in the eBay account, and I thought, this is perfect. I will go ahead and use that as the funding for the Uber ride, and that way Uber doesn't get hold of my bank account information.
You're scaring people. You know, you might think that the ride was $100.
Oh, no. We'll get in. It was actually one annoying thing, and I'll go into it. So the installation went well. It took me a couple of tries. I had to go outside to get a good... GPS reading, and it said, okay, no cards available, okay, car available, oop, no cards available. At the time, it would appear that there were only 2 cars operating in Reading that were listed as available. There's UberX and UberXL, and apparently it has to do with the size of the car. So you put in how many people you want to transport, and apparently an UberXL is a nicer car.
Yeah.
Which costs you a bit more. Now, the interesting thing is that it
cool, estimated... Maybe you need that kind of room because you have people.
Right. So it estimated from downtown to my house was going to be about $12.
Oh.
And I said, okay.
That's about $1 a minute.
Yeah. I said, I can deal with that. So I went ahead and made the, send me a car. And immediately it showed my location. It picks up a spot near you and says, you be at this spot. And it was a couple of doors down. And then, it showed on the map where the car is, and said, and it kind of made little circles around and around. Apparently he was, as it turns out, he was picking up a coffee. So it showed his location.
Driving around the building or whatever.
And then it gives it, well, it wasn't really that detailed, but it showed that his location was kind of bouncing a bit. And then once he was on his way, it was very accurate. It gives the driver's name, the type of car it is, and the license plate of the vehicle.
Oh, so you can be on the lookout.
Right, and then they have these stickers in the corner. So Kenneth pulls up a few minutes later, it was obvious who I was, because I'm standing there with a phone in my hand looking at it and then looking up the street when he come around the corner. So I got in the car, beautiful, nice little clean, I think it was a Hyundai, nice clean car. So anyway, Kenneth and I got to talking, and I asked him if could I please, without him making any comment on the company and some of the things that's going on, just about what it's like. Why did he become an Uber driver? And so,
you told him that you're a producer. Yeah, blah,
told him where I was and all that. He was unimpressed. He listens to XM apparently.
Well, and whatever.
Tried to convert him to a listener, but maybe he'll do the podcast. But we'll go ahead and run the segment here. So Kenneth and I were driving along, and here's where we talked. And it's Bob Belongi on Boomer Tech Radio. Here with me now is Kenneth, and Kenneth is a driver or Uber, and the circumstances are that today, earlier in the day as we're recording this, my Jeep was broken, and I ended up, I said, well, this is an opportunity to utilize an Uber. The app was interesting. I installed it, and I went through PayPal to set up the financing, so it's not dipping into my bank account directly. Plus, the app actually let me know where Kenneth was from the time it signaled him that there was a car available, and he started on his way over. So I don't know how many cars are there are in Reading, where we're going to talk to Kenneth here for just a moment. And so, Kenneth, you said you're the longest-serving Uber driver in Reading, which hasn't been for very long because it hasn't been around very long. First of all, how long have you been doing this?
I started this in March of 2015. Uber came here in February. I was the third driver to sign up, and I happened to know the first two, and they both quit after a few months because at the time, Uber had no riders in Reading.
So now that it's catching on, what made you think that this might be something you'd do to pick up some spare change, or is this your actual career now?
No, this is just something to do. Uber can't really be looked at as a job. There are not enough riders and too many drivers in Shasta County anyway. So this is extra money. It's something to do. I happen to love to drive. I've driven for a living most of my life, so I just do it because I like it. And you make a little bit of extra money if you learn to play the game properly.
Now, we won't get into some of the stories we've heard about, but just for you personally, has it been a positive experience?
I've had a great time. I have only had one even close to negative experience. A very drunk person thought they would threaten me while they were getting out of my car. And I made it clear that he wasn't going to do anything, and he staggered off mumbling to himself, and that was that. Uber does have precautions when things like that happen. As either a driver or a rider, if you ever have a bad experience at the end of every ride, riders get to rate drivers, drivers get to rate riders. If you one star anybody after the ride is complete, you will never be matched up again. The computer will deliberately keep you away from that individual.
Very interesting. All righty. Well, as we record this, we are negotiating our way, for those of you who are in Reading listening to this, because this show is picked up as a podcast and broadcast all over. Those of you who live in Reading are probably familiar with the landscaping currently taking place, terraforming, currently taking place on Placer Street as we head out towards the Nerve Center of Belongi Entertainment Enterprises. So we'll go ahead and close this out and enjoy the rest of the ride on Boomer Tech Radio.
And that was my Boomer experience with Kenneth. And now, interesting, because we live in like a horrible, horrible cell location, the application crashed as I got out of the car, but I later got an email noticing that I, you know, acknowledging my payment. But I didn't get a chance to rate Kenneth. So I hope it didn't take that as a one star.
It shouldn't.
It shouldn't.
Because there was, you know, no reply, because you don't have to rate them, do you? That part you don't know about, because
no,
you didn't get that part of the experience.
It's
really interesting that if you have a mismatch, driver versus rider, that won't match them up. One star on either end, it doesn't match them up. I think that's really interesting.
Now,
I did not know that about Uber.
Interesting. Interesting that drivers can also work for both companies.
Both companies.
Both Lyft and Uber.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, overall, though, it was an interesting. Now, here's something that may be annoying to some people. Mind you, this is on a Thursday at 10:30 a.m. in Redding, California, and it applied a surge pricing multiplier to my ride. So instead of the $12, I actually ended up paying almost $15. 1.4 surge price. I'm going Redding on Thursday morning.
At 10
is
o'clock.
A surge time.
Yeah, that's stupid.
And I'm not sure. Uber doesn't mention what their criteria is for that.
Well, and it's you know, just a way to suck money out of your pocket.
Yeah,
the driver doesn't get it either, I don't think.
Well, the drivers, the Uber takes 30% of the fare off the top. So out of this, can earn himself about $10 or $12 plus I gave him a cash tip.
Yeah.
But Uber has announced now that they've had some negative news. Their CEO quits in what amounts to disgrace. Board members have resigned. States are hounding them. In spite of all this, though, Kenneth's view towards Uber is very positive.
That doesn't mean that the app and the service don't work.
Right.
Just because some clowns at the corporate level can't behave themselves or get their act together or whatever the circumstances are.
Mm-hmm. So the app now, starting in 121 different cities, actually lets you tip from within the app. Now, I just gave Kenneth $5 because I was glad to be home. And really, and 100 plus, well, it wasn't.
Well, and he was game for an interview.
Yeah, it was game. Yeah, yes. So it was interesting, though, as an emergency resource, pretty darn handy. Now, one of my coworkers here said, yeah, but it doesn't work at 5 o'clock in the morning in Reading. So,
well, no.
Nobody was on.
The cab does.
Yeah.
So it's not like you don't have transportation. But if you were in an urban environment, I'm very sure that there are people who will drive all night long.
Yeah.
In a bigger city. So, if you went to San Francisco, for instance, I'm sure that you can find an Uber at any hour of the day.
Yeah. So, and he gets paid, I believe, once a week, deposited directly into his account for his fares.
So I'm wondering how that would work in an urban environment where there are multiple Uber drivers around. How does it pick which one to send you? The system must figure out which one's closest.
Which one is the most efficient, yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe there's an who knows what their algorithms are.
But yeah.
Overall, though, it was a good experience, and I found myself whisked home with a very pleasant individual and in a fairly nice car. And on a day like today when it was hot and I was not inclined to be hoofing it the 6 miles out to the house, this was a good experience.
Definitely. I imagine that if there are problem drivers, that they very quickly are
weeded out.
Thrown out of the system. It sort of reminds me of Vacation Rental by Owner or Home Away, a listing service that I like online.
Right, which is a service we're also availing ourselves of.
Right. But I like them because if there's a problem with the property, it's not represented accurately, or it, you know, doesn't exist, or there's a real problem that you have with the landlord or some, or the, you know, whoever you're dealing with, the property manager or whatever, however that works, it is noted right away, and if it's consistent, then they will terminate the listing.
Yeah. Now, we had considered doing an Uber during a Consumer Electronics Show because we had a coupon for one mm-hmm. free ride.
Yeah.
We didn't find ourselves in circumstances because we have stuff that we have to haul around for the show.
And we're able to find parking, actually.
Yeah, we were able to get parking. So, but I would avail myself of the service again.
Based oh, sure.
on this, based on this experience.
Yeah.
And I'm probably one of the last... I'm probably definitely the last tech show host in the world to actually use an Uber, but
maybe,
just
maybe
hadn't
not.
Had the opportunity to do so.
Well, it's a semi-rural area here. I mean, it's not the first thing you think of. It's,
right, right.
And we have enough friends in town. You can usually hitch a ride and whatever, but and you probably could have found a ride home.
I have coworkers and friends who
right.
would have, you know.
Yeah,
but Reading's that kind of town.
Yeah, but like you said,
this was the opportunity.
Yeah, it was a great opportunity to check out Uber, which we'd threatened to do before and haven't done.
So would you feel more confident now in signing up and taking the trip if
yeah.
you had to in a pinch?
Yeah, I understand a lot more about how it works. I've just never looked into it because I haven't had to use it.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like it it has some advantages over maybe a cab because it's a direct connection with the driver. You know where they are. It's not unlike... what do you call it, AAA? When you call AAA, they let you know.
Right,
they send
right.
you a text that the driver's on their way in an estimated time of arrival.
Right.
And that kind of thing.
Well, a little car map,
yeah,
little car on the map.
That's
that was
cool.
Kind of cool.
Yeah, so you know exactly where they are. And it's also a good security feature that they list the make and model and the license
yeah,
plate of the
yeah.
vehicle so that you know that that's not just somebody that you know,
just
because when you're standing on the curb looking for a ride, it's pretty obvious.
Yeah,
right?
Somebody could slap a sign in the window, and,
yeah.
and next thing you know, you're around the corner.
Exactly.
So again, as with any piece of technology, use it with prudence, use it with a little foresight,
sure.
And it's a convenience. And in my case, I had a very positive experience. And Kenneth, if you happen to, by some chance, catch onto the podcast, thank you very much for a great ride and a good interview for you here on Boomer Tech Radio.
Nice voice.
Hey, what? Yeah, he's got a great set of pipes. He could have a second career in broadcasting.
It sounds like he likes to keep moving.
Yeah. Hey, when we come back, Brenda's going to talk about some of her experiences in the medical world, as a couple of friends of ours have been, and relatives even, have been in medical circumstances. It's Boomer Tech Radio with Bob and Brenda this week. More after the break.
From working families to small businesses or government agencies, it's important to have quality care for the cars and light trucks that are essential to getting the job done. Here in the North State, that means Advanced Automotive of Reading, where they pride themselves on old-fashioned honesty, quality personal attention, and personal responsibility to get the work done right the first time. Why else would they be able to offer a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty on their repairs? Every mechanic at Advanced Automotive is an ASC-certified master technician who takes pride in their work, something that's earned Advanced Automotive recognition from RepairPal.com, the leading provider of auto repair and maintenance information to consumers. From the family minivan, your daughter's first car, or a yard full of company vehicles, Advanced Automotive should be your go-to repair shop. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 5756 F Westside Road. Call 244-4423 or check the customer reviews at RepairPal.com.
For over 10 years, we've danced to support survivors of domestic violence and sexual abuse. Now One Safe Place invites you to the 11th annual Dancing with the Stars, Shasta County Style, on July 8th at the Cascade Theater in Reading. Join the 2017 cast as they compete for the ultimate prize, the Champions Trophy. Get your tickets to the show and vote for your favorite dancer at ospshasta.org or call 244-0118. Sponsored by Partnership Health, Results Radio, KRCR Channel 7, and KCBU Fox Channel 20. One Safe Place, together we change lives. What shall we
do about them? Join Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR. What shall we do about them?
Hey Carl, I'm looking for a new place to eat. Do you have any suggestions?
Have you tried the Cedar Tree Restaurant in Palo Cedro?
No, I haven't yet. What's it like?
Hey, it's great. Locally owned and operated. The owner, Susan, does a superb job. Food's outstanding, and the entire dining experience is well worth that short trip to Palo Cedro.
Awesome. What are their hours?
7:30 to 2, Saturday through Tuesday. 7:30 to 8, Wednesday through Friday. You won't be sorry that you went out there.
Thanks. I'll go try it today.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Hey, it's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, the very best way to start your day in the North State. Every Monday through Friday from 7 to 9, Carl and Linda Bott bring you what's happening in our community, from politics to entertainment and the issues you care about. If you like what you're hearing, won't you please tell a friend that local live radio is what we're all about? I love my job. Tune in and find out why, right here, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m., on the home of Free Fire Media, KCNR 1460.
Good, honest, reliable. More than two decades ago, an auto repair shop opened in Reading based on those simple principles. Advanced Automotive is still family-owned, continuing on with those same ideals. So simple, yet rare in today's world. Modern cars and light trucks have grown more complex in the past 20-plus years, but those founding concepts still hold just as much importance when it comes to safety, reliability, and value for your dollar. Advanced Automotive of Reading promises that your vehicle will be serviced confidently by a technician with the training and knowledge to make professional repairs. Read what your friends and neighbors have to say about Advanced Automotive by going to RepairPal.com, where you can get an instant estimate of what you can expect to pay for your service or repair. Honest work at a fair price. It's not all that complicated. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 244-4423, or stop by 5756 F West Side Road.
Welcome back to Boomer Tech Radio with Bob and Brenda Belongi this week. Alan is out taking care of some family business, but we are back with goodies, gadgets, and gizmos. By the way, you want to drop us a line, boomertechradio@gmail.com is the address to use. Not many people have availed themselves of that, but our podcast is growing. And we want to thank everybody who downloads the podcast. And
if you do it once and say, "Oh my God, that's awful!
This is the worst tech show ever."
Some may have said that, and that's okay.
This guy has no creds, you know. Well, I grew up with, I started about the same time as the transistor came on the scene, so, and the birth of rock and roll, 1955.
Well, it's been our experience that the folks that are in the industry have do a lot of tech speak.
Yeah.
That's kind of insider stuff, and that's not what we're about.
No, we don't dumb stuff down. I was explaining the show to somebody the other day. We don't dumb it down, but we try to put it in terms that, well, we can understand.
There's that. And then there's our personal experience with it, which, I think has some value.
Yeah. Boomer consumers.
It is just the world according to Bob and Brenda.
Yeah.
We freely admit that.
Yeah. Not an expert. I have opinions. Everybody has opinions. And you'll get them on this show when it comes to the relative wisdom of some of the technology. Now, I know people who are proud Luddites. I get calls at this radio station that I work at, and I was telling somebody, well, you can look that up on so-and-so. Well, I don't own a computer. I won't have anything to do with them.
Okay.
That's your choice. As long as you are able, but you want this information, long as you are able to impinge upon other people
you
to do this.
You still have a digital footprint.
Yeah. You can't really avoid it. The government is, for the most part, dealing with the public via online. And you can rail against it all you want, but there it is.
I was gratified that today in my office, we had a discussion about the equipment in meeting room that we have. And we have a Starboard that is malfunctioning. Actually, both of them malfunction now. Now, an original purpose, I think, purchase. I'm not sure what they cost, $2,500, I want to say?
Yeah.
Now, and this is where there's a projector right above the whiteboard, and it can project right on the screen. It also can take pictures. You can modify things, send it back to the computer. I mean, it's pretty cool. It's never been used in that capacity.
So it's full.
One of them, well, it's a very safe space-saving, try to say that three times in a row, space-saving kind of technology. The one has never been in focus. Mm. No matter how hard the tech has tried, it's never been in focus. I don't use it because you go, okay, do I need a new prescription or what? You look at the other one, yeah, that's definitely out of focus.
Well, in a couple of years, you're going to have e-paper or something along those lines.
Well, at a god-awful price initially.
Well, initially, but look at how much is...
So my suggestion, the conversation came up that should we modernize that? We've never used the Starboards to their full capacity. We don't really use that room that way. And so my suggestion was, well, why not just get some big 60 or 70-inch screens and put them up there? And they're like, oh, that would be a really good idea.
Yeah.
Because then they had some flexibility. So who knows where that's going to go. And those are not that expensive.
No, you can get, especially since you don't need...
It's not like you need a 2K or a 4K
screen. Right, you don't need a lot of bells and whistles.
No.
You should be able to get a 60-inch 1080, which will talk right to your computer, will talk to it without
wirelessly.
Even looking up a sweat. Yeah. Or you can plug in an Apple TV or a Google Play, or an Amazon Stick or any of these devices. There are other cast type devices that are not of the major brands, but they work like a champ.
So my limited tech knowledge or whatever was sufficient to, make a suggestion that may gain some traction. So we'll see what happens.
And you know what an HDMI connector looks like now.
Yeah.
Because there's people who look at that in a USB connector and go, No.
There's an obvious difference. Yeah, there's a size difference and a shape difference, too. Yeah. I mean, they were smart enough to do that. But anyway, as Bob mentioned, I've spent entirely too much time in hospitals lately. It's been an interesting, not as a patient, I was not an admittee, it was helping other people. All of them, sudden and unexpected and things like that. So it was a great opportunity, though, to observe the technology at work. Mm-hmm. And I happened to be in a big city with, maybe a little more modern type facility in place. And I was quite fascinated with how things are different. Now, anyone who even 10 years ago had some kind of an EKG or heart monitor put on, they used to have these little, they've always had the things that they stick, the electrodes they stick to your skin.
Yeah.
And they used to snap on, and then when they pulled them off, it was like, it would hurt. Well, now they...
Heightened hair came with.
And this is just hardware, this doesn't have anything to do with tech per se, but now they have these little pinchies, like little alligator clips, except they fit right on the little... electrode, and you can take them on and off real easy. It's really good. But what amazed me, now we have talked on Boomer Tech Radio a lot about voice command and the advances that have been made in voice command to the point of where a lot of voice command systems now are on par with their understanding as it's as good as a human's understanding. There's misunderstandings, of course, that at least 80% of the time, what you say to another person is understood. But sometimes there's mismatches.
Right.
And so the so-called AIs, which aren't true AIs, the machine learning of the computer is able to pick that up at least to the same level that humans do.
Right. So, and you can see how a hands-free interface in a medical environment where you want to touch as few things as possible with your hands,
it wasn't only that.
It would be a huge boon.
It's not only that. Your hands are full.
Yeah.
And you need something.
Right.
And this is what I observed where there was telemetry involved, the monitoring. So they have the – most people are familiar, especially if you've been in a hospital recently, that they have those monitors in the room – that are doing their thing, and they're always beeping because something it doesn't like something, right?
Yeah.
They're quite obnoxious. But there's also telemetry, especially for cardiac folks, that they have a pocket in hospital gowns now, and this thing that is about the size of a paperback book, weighs a little more. It's a little thin, like a thin paperback book, fits in the pocket, and all the leads from the electrodes go into that, and that device communicates wirelessly with some sort of monitoring room. So in this particular case, the nurse was in, and she has what amounts to like a smart device, a communications device, and she goes, dial the monitoring room. And the little device obviously did so, because pretty soon here comes a human voice that says, monitoring room. And so blah, 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 I need blah, blah, and what's it showing, blah, blah, and are they connected, blah, blah. And so I asked, well, where is that room physically? And she said, oh, it's on the floor above us. But you can't go to a different floor because then you lose the connection. And,
they got
to keep track
of
you.
So this is near field communication.
Yeah, and it obviously is done Bluetooth or something like that because it's wireless.
Well, if you look up, look in the ceiling in any hospital, and there's antennas poking out every couple of feet.
Yeah, and then the other thing was she was busy doing whatever, and then the device said, can you take a call? And she said, yes.
Ah.
And the call came in, and then I think another one, she got another one of those, and she said, where's it from? Or, who is it? And the device said, and he said, okay, I'll take that, So all in voice command. It was really impressive.
Yeah.
And so all of this telemetry going on.
Tea, Earl Grey, hot.
Yeah, that kind of thing. So that was really amazing. And even though there's still a lot of analog things that go on, the little carts that the nurses push around now, everything's digital. So the other thing that was really impressive to me in this case was that The patient was in one part of the hospital getting a procedure done. And that was one team. That's where the check-in point was. That's where, you know, everything started. And then they had to go to another part of the hospital and got moved there. And it took the nurses a little bit to catch up because they were doing other things. And then they had to come. Mm-hmm. They took care of the patient. And they knew everything that was going on. They knew what time it happened, what the deal was. And so these electronic records were very, very handy because that everybody knows the whole story. And then medications were in there, the list. And, you know, they're always asking you what's your name and your birth date because they got to make sure that they have the right thing for the right person.
Right.
Including what's on the screen there. And everything is tracked. They still do a lot of analog things. There was a part of one procedure was there had to be this check every 15 minutes for the first hour. And then it went to every half hour. And then it finally dropped back to once an hour. So this was over a period of time.
Right.
And so they do that, but they can set reminders or what have you that, you know, you're supposed to do that. So it's not unlike setting an alarm on your cell phone. Oh, go check on that. And so what impressed me was that there was a certain amount of efficiency because of that, and there was probably less opportunity for some mistakes because the medical records that were in there, the nurses didn't have to interrupt the doctors, for instance, and they were also able to communicate more directly with the doctors mm-hmm. when they needed to verify or check on a particular thing or something like that. I saw that happen as well. And that was all through this communication system
right.
in the hospital.
So as long as it's working, this really streamlines the efficiencies of the process. Now, interestingly enough, our mechanic even and our sponsor of the broadcast show, Cody Morlock, their computer went down.
Oh,
and
yes.
And he's having to scratch his head and remember how to fill out a paper, manual invoice.
An analog paper invoice. And he said he was laughing.
What's the tax
rate? Yeah, he was spoiled rotten because the software they use figures out your tax rate and all that kind
all
of stuff.
All the labor rates
right,
and all
and
that.
Right, and so you just put in the number of hours of labor and it'll do that and you can add discounts or whatever, you know, pain in the butt fees or whatever you want to put in there. And it'll automatically calculate that out, and they enter the notes about the vehicle, and they can look that up in the future. I mentioned something not too long ago; it was like 2 or 3 years ago, and because I've gone there for a long time, they had that record.
Right.
And I said, "Oh, here's when it was, and here's what happened, and blah blah blah." And so that was very interesting. But yeah, one computer, the motherboard, and the power supply both died.
Sometimes that will happen
right.
because the power supply malfunctions.
Right, it blows out the computer board.
The motherboard,
right.
Or the motherboard will short something
like
that. And that will crowbar out the power supply.
Yeah, that backfeeds the power
Often
supply.
These things come in multiples. So if you are a do-it-yourselfer, make sure you identify the correct cause. Because otherwise, had you simply replaced the motherboard, you could have wiped out the new one because the original fault, which was in the power supply, might still be there.
Now, in hospitals, I know they have generators and things like that. I mean, if somebody's on the carving table and the power goes out in the middle of everything, mm-hmm. they have to have a way to stay operating.
Right, right.
Literally.
You notice that everything in there has a battery backup.
Oh, yeah.
All the critical
There's
systems.
All kinds of things like that. And so when it comes to medical records, you know, they must have some kind of backup system, too. You would hope so, although as we know...
And that it's
know,
shielded from
right,
from ransomware.
Yeah, hackability is a big issue with that. It's hard to have these things secure. But it was very interesting to see how these devices and these methodologies, I think, were just so different. And yet there is still, obviously, for instance, finding veins in an arm.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's vein pattern is different.
Right.
And no, you know, it's not, it's there somewhere in the vicinity, right? You have a brachial
right.
vein or something.
I would say that phlebotomists are probably pretty safe from having a robot take over their phlebotomists. are probably safe from having a robot take over that position anytime soon.
For a very long time, because what was interesting with this one nurse is that she spent a lot of time poking around and feeling where things actually were, and she was mapping that, and she goes, oh, I like that one, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
And she said at one point the patient said, do you want me to make a fist? And the nurses go, oh, that's for those that don't know what they're doing. It was really interesting, but she spent a lot of time, and you would have a tough time.
Yeah.
It would be some time before you could develop a robot with that level of sensitivity. Now, there could be other ways that they might sense where those veins are, you know, acoustically, sonic,
yeah,
or with pulses or whatever. I mean, but
now we may
still
see an augmented reality system for that. Same as surgery is being done more and more with an augmented system where the surgeon is still doing the work,
right?
But they are controlling a very fine scalpel with a motor control or a laser that can make much smaller incremental moves
than
a human hand
could
do.
Right.
But the surgeon is still
in control of the device.
Yeah, still controlling the device. And, of course, enhanced vision. You see them wearing the little binoculars. And, of course, everything is being recorded.
Right.
Not only for legal purposes, but also for records, so that we can say, when we went in, we found this.
Right, or teaching or what have you.
Yeah.
Because, again, no two people are the same. I mean, everybody's got a liver, kidney, spleen, et cetera, but, you know, there's
your mileage may vary.
Yeah, the configurations are a little bit different each time. So it just was a very interesting experience with tech. And in looking at, there was obviously a lot of wireless communications going on, and
well, you do have to worry a little bit about interference in these systems and getting them all, because you have different manufacturers and different protocols and things like that. But this is all being worked out, and they test this stuff 90 ways to Sunday.
Obviously, they have some solutions to it,
right?
Because it was very much in use and very successful.
Yeah.
So if I had not been in a hospital.
Knock on wood, neither one of us required anything extensive for quite some time.
Well, not only that, I hadn't visited a hospital where these things were in use. And it was interesting because locally I thought, oh, well, you know, little old Redding.
Yeah, they're out there with us with wax style eye or
well,
something.
Almost. But it's not that bad. But I didn't think it would be that bad. But somewhat to my surprise, I saw a lot of that modern type stuff here locally. Once I learned to recognize what it was, it is definitely in use here. And so it's been around a while, obviously. I just haven't encountered it. But if you haven't visited someone in the hospital or been in the hospital yourself lately, be in for a surprise. It's quite different.
Now, as we indicate, and I don't know if you saw any of this down in Phoenix, when we were at UCSF Medical Center, we were hearing about these robots that would transfer files and medications and things like that between floors out of the sight of the humans with very set routes and things like that.
Yeah,
I think we'll see more of that, and maybe transporting, doing things that orderlies have been doing, transporting the, what are the big
food.
Risks for order? Well, transporting food, transporting the soiled linens. You know, that's
right.
An infection vector that an orderly could conceivably
A human
transmit.
Could contract something or vice versa.
Or inadvertently transfer an infection from one individual to another if all they have to do is just slip up once. So using these systems that could be sterilized.
Sterilized and also repeat a protocol flawlessly every single time.
Right, that's the thing. They're not good, not terribly good at innovation, but they are awfully good at doing
repetition.
The same thing over and over and over.
Safely or whatever. Or that's in neither of these facilities did I see any robots at work. In fact, meals were delivered by people, which from a psychological point of view, there's some aspects to it that way, too.
Well, and Kenneth was talking. I said, are you worried about the fact that Uber's really pumping into driverless cars? He says, no time soon. He says, there are people who are always going to demand, the consumer is always going to demand a certain segment of human drivers, because there is this mistrust partially promulgated by the media, partially pushed out by Hollywood of the robot apocalypse. That the machines
zombie
are
zombie robot apocalypse.
Yeah, that the machines are not to be trusted. You know, you're going to have Skynet, or, you know, the Terminator driving your cab for your Johnny cab from Total Recall.
The I had an interesting conversation with someone about driverless cars and several problems they're having. Mm-hmm. Right off the bat, is one, large animals.
Oh yes.
What is it? First of all, or is it a large animal? It doesn't really matter whether it's a deer, a moose, or a bear. It's still going to do some significant damage to the vehicle. But it has to recognize that's what it is.
Yeah.
And take appropriate action. And the other thing that the vehicles are cannot recognize yet is when you are in a situation where a someone is directing traffic, a road worker or a law enforcement officer
yeah.
is directing traffic, and it goes against the red light or what have you. How do they get around that? You know, and you could see the occasion where then the person would be wearing something that tells the car, okay, this is what I am and this is what I'm doing, and you go into a certain mode.
Yeah.
It may tell the driver you have to take over manually ahead of time or what have you, but they just haven't gotten there yet.
Right, and one of the big questions is, of course, the conundrum about if you swerve to avoid a person, but that action will put you into the path of a busload of kids.
Right.
There was a case that made the news of a semi-truck driver swerved to avoid a deer, lost control, the vehicle jackknifed, and took out, there were multiple collisions, and four people died. That's a person driving.
Right.
But the conundrum in the decision-making process, how do we write that decision-making process into an AI? What decision does it make? Does it potentially hit the deer, lose control, and destroy itself? Or does it take action? Would it be capable of taking better action that would not cause the vehicle to lose control?
Does it somehow take the time to figure out what the least number of casualties would be?
Yeah.
You know, the need of the many outweigh the need of the one.
That becomes an ethical program.
Absolutely. That's a very tough thing.
Honestly, people are no better at that than the computers are.
Well, the computer's going to be programmed by a human, so, you know, this is the way it goes. And I think people maybe, this is speculation on my part,
mm-hmm.
That people have this expectation that driverless cars are going to be flawless. And
well,
that there
by no stretch of the imagination.
Right, that there won't be wrecks and that there won't be problems and that sort of thing. Initially, we can hope for the fact that there will be far fewer accidents and things like that. But there's failures. There's mechanical failures. There's software failures.
Mm-hmm.
There's vandalism. There's all kinds of things that could happen.
But the people who profit from panic
well,
and make political hay out of paranoia, will be quick to jump on even this. It's like the Tesla crash, where the guy was ignoring the car's request to take over because the car realized that it was getting in over it past its capabilities.
The car had some sentientness,
yeah.
enough self-awareness to know that this is not my program.
Yeah, the car's software.
I'm sorry, driver. I don't know how to deal with this situation.
The car's
software
understood that the situation was becoming too complex, and reportedly the driver ignored at least three warnings from the car that he needed to take over. Where does that leave them in terms of their liability? Because people are going to sue anybody.
Well, in this country, it's a litigious society.
Yes.
Somebody must pay.
Well, that brings us to the end of our very first hour of Boomer Tech Radio for this episode. We have another hour ahead, so if you're listening on the podcast, you'll notice almost change. Those of you listening to the KCNR broadcast or the audio stream are going to hear about 5 minutes worth of news here at the top of the hour. It's Boomer Tech Radio, Bob and Brenda, I can't even say my own tagline this week. Wherever you go, whatever you do, be safe, be good to each other. We'll be right back after the break.
A tired tone.
that takes you to your place of work. It gets your kids to school, practice, recitals, and to visit friends and relatives. It takes you on your adventures, and it brings you home again safely. It's your car or light truck, and for most of us, it's our second biggest investment. So when your vehicle needs routine maintenance or major repairs, it just makes sense to go with the very best. Here in Shasta County, that means one thing: Advanced Automotive. Advanced Automotive is Redding's only shop that's listed on RepairPal.com, part of a nationwide network of shops that are regularly evaluated for superior training, guaranteed fair prices, and excellent customer reviews. And Advanced Automotive backs up their work with something you won't get anywhere else, a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty. Don't just take my word for it. Log on to RepairPal.com, enter your make, model, and zip code, and read what your friends and neighbors have to say. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Redding, 244-4423.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
President Trump discussing North Korea's weapons program with world leaders at the G20 summit in Germany.
President Trump met with Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe to discuss North Korea's latest missile launch.
The Prime Minister is, I will say this, very, very focused on what's going on with respect to North Korea.
Trump, Abe, and the South Korean president have issued a joint statement calling for early adoption of a new United Nations Security Council resolution and additional sanctions to demonstrate there are serious consequences for the North's latest missile launch. Trump also met with Chinese President Xi Jinping, telling him something has to be done about North Korea. Mike Hempen, Washington.
Crews in Oakland, California, continuing to clean up after an early morning fire Friday that destroyed a seven-story building site. Workers are trying to secure and take down the untethered construction crane that authorities fear could collapse, as well as they're trying to demolish burned scaffolding that's hanging over the site. Oakland City Council member Lynette Gibson McElhinney says the fire that broke out is under could have been worse, actually.
The first responders were able to respond to this fire timely, and one of the good news, like if there's a silver lining all of this, is that we were able to contain the damage and there's been no loss of life. Folks were able to respond very quickly.
At least 10 residents had to be evacuated and are being kept away from the site until fire officials deem it safe enough for investigators to get to work. Meanwhile, investigators say three people have been found dead in a fire that destroyed part of a Houston-area apartment complex. Firefighters responded to a blaze around dawn this morning in Crosby. That's about 20 miles northeast of Houston. An investigation is underway. And a wildfire burning in the Sierra Nevada foothills north of Sacramento has destroyed 10 structures so far. News and analysis at townhall.com.
Amazing to realize, but you know, it's been almost 2 years I've been talking with you about Relief Factor, and I can tell you I've been continually inundated with testimonials. This is Michael Medved, and I've received thousands of testimonials that come in telling me how excited people are to be out of pain. Like Bob from Ohio, who writes, I had a herniated disc in my back in 1984. I started taking Relief Factor, and for the first time, I have been completely out of constant, sometimes excruciating pain. I'm now able to work in the yard, around the house, and do my job in comfort. This is a great product. That's the end of the quote. If you're struggling with ongoing back or neck pain, shoulder, hip or knee pain, or general muscle pain, aches, pains of any kind, do what tens of thousands of others have done so successfully. Go to ReliefFactor.com and order their 3-week quick start for just $19.95. 1-800-500-8384. That's 1-800-500-8384.
Iraqi commanders say their forces are tens of meters away from defeating the Islamic State group in Mosul a day after a major counterattack by the militants. The Joint Operations Command said units are still continuing to advance, but they say not much is left before the forces reach the river. U.S. Envoy Brett McGurk's urging the government of Iraq's Kurdish region to reconsider a referendum on independence set for later this year.
All eyes right now must remain fixed on the enemy of Daesh, which is not defeated. And Hawija alone will be a very complicated campaign. And so anything that would distract against completing this mission is something that we will not support.
The operation to retake Mosul, Iraq's second largest city, began in October. Nonstop service launched between Dulles International Airport and India's largest airport, the Indira Gandhi International, started Friday with the inaugural flight from India. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. St. Louis will have to lower its minimum wage from $10 to $7.70 an hour. That's the minimum for the rest of the state.
St. Louis raised the minimum wage to $10 back in 2015. In August, however, a Missouri law goes into effect preventing cities from inventing their own minimum wage separate from the state. Its Republican governor says the increase will kill jobs and that an increase in minimum wage might read pretty on paper, but it doesn't work in practice as small businesses either have to cut people's hours or let them go. St. Louis's Democratic mayor disagrees, calling the law a setback for working families. Val Dior reporting.
A federal appeals court upheld a $28 million judgment against cigarette maker R.J. Reynolds in a lawsuit filed by a Connecticut smoker who got cancer. The three-judge panel is sending the case back to trial court to see if the company must pay additional damages. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
From working families to small businesses or government agencies, it's important to have quality care for the cars and light trucks that are essential to getting the job done. Here in the North State, that means Advanced Automotive of Reading, where they pride themselves on old-fashioned honesty, quality personal attention, and personal responsibility to get the work done right the first time. Why else would they be able to offer a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty on their repairs? Every mechanic at Advanced Automotive is an ASC-certified master technician who takes pride in their work, something that's earned Advanced Automotive recognition from RepairPal.com, the leading provider of auto repair and maintenance information to consumers. From the family minivan, your daughter's first car, or a yard full of company vehicles, Advanced Automotive should be your go-to repair shop. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 5756 F Westside Road. Call 244-4423 or check the customer reviews at RepairPal.com.
Hello, once again, it's Boomer Tech Radio. I'm Bob Belongi.
And I'm Brenda Belongi.
Analog living in a digital world. Welcome to the second hour of our program with goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, the tech news that you can use. And, of course, we broadcast on KCNR in Reading and throughout the world via the streaming applications, our podcasts, which run out on, we're on TuneIn Radio. We are also, the podcast can be picked up off our website, boomertechradio.com, along with occasional show notes, or you can subscribe through the iTunes Store, Stitcher, or Google Play. So lots of ways to get the show. Now, one of the necessary things about doing live radio, we're old school, so we're wearing what amounts to sportscasters headsets. These are very nice Sennheisers, which have good sound, good earbuds, and pretty decent microphones because they are meant for the sportscasting community. A big thing with some people is headphone hair, and Brenda has experienced this phenomenon.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, people take one look at that and go, oh, you were wearing headphones, weren't
yeah.
you? I mean, well, so it's not like it's, what is the matter with you?
We actually have a guest host here at this radio station who routinely rips the headphones apart. We have these low-end Sennheisers for the broadcast studio that are pretty sturdy, but she tears the ear cups off and holds one up like the old, Gary Owens on Laugh-In.
Oh, yeah.
Cupping the ear, you know. So headphone hair is, for some people, that is a big deal. It leaves a divot in your hair. There are actually some, according to an article that appears in The Verge, there are some headphones that are being designed to be fairly easy on the hairdo. So we'll run through a couple of these. And this is for everybody who's said, well, I can't wear it, because headphones give you much better sound than a set of earbuds.
Oh, yes.
Because
they have bigger hardware.
They cup over the ears. They block out the outside noise. Don't recommend headphones, of course, when you're out walking along the railroad track, because that can end fairly badly. Another style of headphone, of course, simply perches on the ear, which can get a little sweaty and nasty after a while.
Yeah, that part can be a bit uncomfortable.
Plus, some people just really like the great sound of good quality headphones. So a Romanian company actually makes headphones that with a wooden case. These are called the Metz 99s. Very good bass quality, but they have a user-friendly headband design. Very wide, self-adjusting soft leather sits atop the head and imparts very little pressure. All it does is keep the ear cups from sliding off the side of your head. They're not particularly portable. Now, like these Sennheisers fold up when we're not, and tuck back into a little case when we're not using them. But the Metz are a little bit on the bulky side. AudioQuest is a big brand in headsets. They have a couple of headphones out called the Nighthawk and the Night Owl. AudioQuest is also known for USB audio converters and amplifiers. The Nighthawks are open back and Night Owls are closed back. And The reviewer here on The Verge says that the Nighthawks were probably the most comfortable headphone they'd ever worn. The headphones are very light, and basically you can wear them all day. A little bit on the expensive side. I don't have the price point. The AudioQuest is about $700 a pop.
Yeah, about $700.
Speaking of Sennheisers, if you want some headphones at a decent price point, look at about $150 for the HD25s. These are basically industry standard DJ headphones. They have been around for a long time. They're durable. They have a split headband.
Lightweight,
and they are designed for broadcast professionals who, I will tell you, tend to be a very picky bunch when it comes to the sound of their own voice.
Kind of snobby.
Kind of being fairly accurate. Plus, they aren't real bass fat. Now, if you think that you know your music just isn't your music without bass that you can hear 10 feet away from headphones, these may not be the ones for you. That Sennheiser HD25s, if I was going to go out and buy, which I think that these headsets that we're using from Sennheiser use the HD25 drivers in their design, combined with a nice little boom microphone, which occasionally you'll hear me inadvertently bump, or since I have a beard, a mariner's beard, you'll occasionally hear it brush.
Russell, something like that.
Going up into the high end, the HD600 and 650, also from Sennheiser, they are open back. They have some air circulation, but they're about $300 a pop. Good brand. Another brand to look for in headphones, Audio Technicas. The upper set is about $650, the lower set about $400. These have sort of a wing design, so they don't have a headband that goes right over the top, but they do have a band that kind of goes around the back, so they don't put the divot in your head. Finally, we'll talk about the Mr. Speakers Aeon. Now, these are $800 cans. You're getting into some serious dollars.
I find it odd to be paying $800 for a brand called Mr. Speakers.
Yeah. These are made of carbon fiber with leather pads.
Super light.
Very expensive. They have a light leather strap that holds the headphones in place. They apparently have extremely high-end drivers in them, but these are not the most expensive options you can get. There's for about twice the money you can get what are called the Ether Flow, which are actually a little bit heavier. So all around from bang for the buck, if money is no object to you, you're going to probably want to look at these Mr. Speakers Aeon
at around $800.
About $800. For us, though, for the stuff that we do, our Sennheisers are great. I cannot talk about them enough. Now, conversely on that, I was recently looking for a headset for a blind friend, of course, Jack, our famous blind friend, who wants to start recording some podcasts of his own. And it turned out that the best headset for his application in terms of durability, USB connectivity, and overall sound quality was a set of, I think they were Plantronics. I have to look it up again. But they were like $49. And you're actually looking at those because in the course of your work, you do some podcast-type work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and these are very nice, lightweight.
They don't have to be super durable, because we're not wearing them all day long. But we need something that sounds decent and doesn't creak and groan like the current set we have, which is, you know, a $20 special. And you move your head and the thing goes, you know, it just kills you.
So we are seeing – now, we a couple of months ago were driving the length of California, and we laughed because there's a place in pretty much the middle of nowhere called Harris Ranch. Harris Ranch is a good place to get a steak if you have the money.
Yeah, it's a little pricey.
It's a bit high-end. It has a very nice resort. I mean, this is in the middle of cow pastures because Harris Ranch is, in fact, a ranch.
Right.
But they have the feedlot right next door. But they have their own airport and things like that. But it's a very it's a high-end restaurant, and this is a treat. For people in our income bracket, this is a rare treat. But the funny thing, when we pulled into the parking lot, we started laughing because here lined up was the best part of $500,000 worth of Teslas.
Easily.
They had 10...
There were like 10 of them. Yeah,
supercharger stations.
Eight of them were full or something
Eight of them had a Tesla in them. And these are the Model S's and all that. But
beautiful car.
Beautiful car. But here's all these, except for the colors, nearly identical Teslas just lined up in a row, all green juiced, while the people ate in the high-end restaurant. So if you can afford a restaurant, you can afford to eat at Harris Ranch. That's if you can afford a Tesla, you can eat at Harris Ranch.
Well, maybe
sure.
Not. Maybe they... The car is everything. You have to sleep in the car. I don't know.
EVs, though, people are thinking they're way down the road, so to speak. But an analyst are starting to look at the trends. This according to an article that appears in Mashable that's up on the Flipboard magazine, that analysts say that probably within two decades, more than a third of all passenger cars will run on batteries. I'm thinking it's going to happen even faster than that. I'm saying maybe 15 years. I'm thinking more fully half of the vehicles on the road, especially in states that have plentiful sunshine for solar systems, fully half the vehicles will be electric because I'm hating to say this about California. California is going to try to force the issue. They're going to try to ram electric down people's throats.
Well, there's still some tax incentive in a lot of places,
right,
to... deal with that.
When it comes to new car sales, battery-powered vehicles will make up 54% of the market. I'm thinking that this is being a bit on the conservative side because how many times have these predictions been made that it's going to be X amount of adoption of a new technology and people latch onto it and it explodes orders of magnitude faster than anybody had predicted. It's like that freeway in Phoenix.
Yeah. They widened it out and it showed that in 3 years or something like that, it would get to capacity. That happened in less than 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Somebody didn't quite get that forecast right. Well, the thing is, if you make it convenient, you make it affordable, you make it reliable, mm-hmm, then yes, people will buy it. It has to have a price point that people can see the value of it versus owning a conventionally powered car.
The breakthrough is going to be a battery technology revolution. Right now, lead-acid batteries are being used in some models. Lithium-ion more and more. Lithium-ion has its costs of being built, plus inherent hazards when something goes wrong. I'm betting that when somebody introduces a improved version of our current battery technology, that is going to really be the spark that will ignite an electric vehicle and power revolution.
So the consequences of this are going to be interesting. Because the petroleum industry, of course, I'm sure makes a great deal of their money based
on
the automobile. Plus, there's an awful lot of fuel taxes in every state that's attached to that that help maintain public roads, public roadways. When you take away that fuel tax, then you have to replace it with something else.
Right. Well, taxes and taxes.
Well, of course, the solution, as Oregon is going to try, is to
tax
you
mile.
For how many miles you drive. And then, and so how are they going to know what state you're in? They have to know something about your location. I don't like that. The government,
right,
any system,
tracking you as it is.
That's, well, they don't need to know. Yeah, they can do it with my cell phone, but they don't know necessarily exactly where I am and what I'm doing.
But look at our recent experience when we had no choice to drive into San Francisco. We had no option but to let our car be photographed. So there's obviously a record, so they could send us the bill.
Yeah.
When we crossed the Golden
Very
Gate.
Very annoying.
There was no option. Either you have the transponder, which of course tells them exactly who you are, when you were there, and when you're passing through.
Right. And charges you automatically.
Or they take a video picture of your vehicle and send you the bill,
still
which
shot.
Creates a record.
Right.
A lot of privacy advocates have a real problem with this.
Well, and I'm not enthused about going to the city anyway.
Yeah,
so
yeah, it was.
Stay away from that.
And the reason was not that great of one anyway. But
had to go.
Yep. Let's see here. So I'm thinking that a battery breakthrough is going
to
spark electric cars much faster. And I think the first place we're going to see them is adaptive mass transit.
Oh, sure.
Where instead of, you may still have your Uber cars, but I think that rather than big buses with six people in them running in a circle 24/7, you're going to have, this is kind of like Disney's People Mover concept that they had back in the 1950s, where you have small modular vehicles that can be scaled up quickly, rolled out as demand increases, and when one has a fault, you know, if you lose a bus, you've got, you know, chaos down the line. But with these modular transport pods, if one goes down, you just roll out another one in its place and take the first one back to the shop and work on it. So a fleet of these vehicles could serve transportation needs.
Until the computer dies.
Right, well, until the guidance system goes down.
Yeah, exactly. And that'll happen occasionally. Not very common, I'm sure.
Hey, article on Mashable that's real interesting. Now, we've seen in the Star Wars movies holo projectors, where you've got the little thing that fits in the palm of your hand, and, you know, Darth Vader or Princess Leia coming out of R2-D2's face or whatever. We're a long way from holo projectors, but a company is claiming, and this is these guys aren't slouches. This is Red. This is a company that makes professional digital cameras.
Yeah, chances are you've seen many a movie that's been recorded on
if
a
If you've
Red
seen
camera.
A movie lately, any major movie lately, chances are you've seen the kind of imagery that comes out of these Red cameras.
Right, which they're a digital camera. They're not like,
right.
Have film per se.
They
all
are
of them are now,
saying
I guess.
They're making a holographic phone called the Hydrogen. They are touting it as the world's first holographic media machine. Says it doesn't require you to have glasses to see the supposed holograms. The 5.7-inch phone runs Android, and pre-orders are available in two tiers. This does not come cheap, about $1,600 for the titanium and $1,200 for the aluminum. Supposedly, they're planning for shipping first quarter of 2018. This is
right around the corner.
Yeah, this is supposedly going to have a holographic display. Now, for these guys to come out and say this, nobody's really seen this thing yet, actually seen it work. How are they going to do this? Because traditional wisdom is that an image has to project onto something for the light to be able to scatter off and get to your eyes. How are they going to pull this off?
That's a good question.
They've released a concept. If they have discovered some new technology, and of course a lot of commentators are going, this sounds an awful lot like vaporware. And if this was anybody but a company that with the reputation that Red has, I'd be a little skeptical myself. Maybe they have stumbled onto something. It says that the hydrogen can be connected to the company's cameras to serve as a control input and camera monitor. Not a whole lot of information. But interestingly enough, the teaser image has a headphone jack. Even though Apple has declared the headphone jack to be obsolete. By the way, quick aside on that, the Apple's doing away with the headphone jack means, of course, a lot of these peripherals that people have been using for years for their iPhones are now obsolete. We were at an event where somebody needed to play some music. They had the micro plug sticking out of the speaker, but nowhere to plug it in. Now, I understand there's a dongle, another thing to pack around, that would plug into the lightning port so you can then plug a speaker into it, but that's another thing.
There's always these little thingies to pack around, right?
Now, supposedly this thing can generate surround sound, and has sort of like the Motorola Moto, you can attach accessories. So this thing is actually going to form the core of not only a projection system, but also a video recording system. So real interesting. Not much idea on what the processor is going to be, storage. Does this... It's very industrial, just like the cinema cameras, but I'm intrigued by this. Could these guys be onto something? Because at $1,200 to $1,600 bucks, this is not something that you're going to go pick up down at Walmart.
I mean, technology is great up to a point with these phones. I do not want my mug showing up as people are walking down the aisle in a store.
Yeah.
And then people, they have to hear you.
Yeah.
Right. You have to get the sound there somewhere. This is the beauty of texting.
Yeah.
You can say rude things and nobody knows.
Yeah.
unless they're actually reading the screen. So I like texting because it's quite private now and efficient. But yeah. When you have the holographic, I mean, it's totally cool.
Yeah.
I mean, the idea is just really awesome. But I'm thinking, it's sort of like a video phone. Not everybody wants to be seen in their pink bunny flippers.
This is for sure.
Fuzzy bunny slippers.
Yeah, this is for sure.
You're having a really bad hair day, or you want to make faces at the person, you don't need a video phone call.
Exactly. So we've talked about phone addictions as we get ready to go into our bottom of the hour break. There are people who just can't, and it's actually a feedback, not unlike any other addiction, where the dopamine levels in your brain rise from the feedback from the screen. There's already recommendations that at least an hour before you go to bed, you switch the phone off, set it aside, that you don't do anything screen-based.
The blue in the screen messing up your circadian rhythms.
Yeah.
It's like a really good book that's a page-turner, only this is a little bit different, and color apparently has part to do with it.
Right. So a Google designer says enabling the grayscale mode may enable you to cut down, just like, it's like I know people who won't watch a movie if it happens to have been done in black and white. For me, there's a certain
artistic element to it.
Yeah, monochrome can be a very powerful artistic tool. Film noir, come on.
Very much like that, and high contrast, low light, that kind of thing.
So if you want to,
it's definitely an art form.
Yeah, if you want to play with grayscale, if you're on an iOS device, go to Settings, General, Accessibilities, tap Display Accommodations, and then Color Filters. Switch color filters to grayscale. If you're on an Android device, it's a lot simpler. You go to Accessibility, and then Vision, and then choose grayscale option. So play around with it and see if maybe
it'll help.
Yeah, see if maybe at night it will get you from, you're grabbing the phone and either tweeting something or you just have to play one more round of Candy Crush. Please do not ever send me Candy Crush requests on Facebook because that will get you removed instantly from my list.
I haven't seen one of those in my collection for a while.
I still very rarely, I mean, I used to get just floods of Farmville requests. I have no interest in this. Matter of fact, I looked at Facebook for the first time in like a week this morning when I came back to the radio station. And it's like a soap opera. You can miss an entire week and nothing changes.
Definitely. It's the same theme.
Yeah, it is. It is. Before we hit the break here at the bottom, sad news for a lot of podcasters and fans of these podcasts, which are distributed through SoundCloud. The company is in trouble. It's not gone, but it is in big trouble. It's called the YouTube for Audio. They have cut 173 jobs. Their San Francisco and London offices are being closed. They're still maintaining an office in Berlin. The site is still up, but they've had to get a line of credit, and they're just not able to come up with a paying model for the service to support itself. So a lot of artists use SoundCloud to initially get their music out there.
So, yeah, so it's sort of the YouTube for audio.
Exactly,
is described. Yes.
Yeah, so hopefully if you have a favorite podcast on SoundCloud, they'll be able to make the transition. We never got into SoundCloud, so far we've been immune from that.
Well, and hopefully an artist, that isn't the only place the artist has their material. One should have that at home.
Bottom of the hour break coming up. One more segment of Boomer Tech Radio right after this.
Good, honest, reliable. More than two decades ago, an auto repair shop opened in Reading based on those simple principles. Advanced Automotive is still family-owned, continuing on with those same ideals. So simple, yet rare in today's world. Modern cars and light trucks have grown more complex in the past 20-plus years, but those founding concepts still hold just as much importance when it comes to safety, reliability, and value for your dollar. Advanced Automotive of Reading promises that your vehicle will be serviced confidently by a technician with the training and knowledge to make professional repairs. Read what your friends and neighbors have to say about Advanced Automotive by going to RepairPal.com, where you can get an instant estimate of what you can expect to pay for your service or repair. Honest work at a fair price. It's not all that complicated. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 244-4423, or stop by 5756 F West Side Road.
For over 10 years, we've danced to support survivors of domestic violence and sexual abuse. Now One Safe Place invites you to the 11th annual Dancing with the Stars Shasta County Style on July 8th at the Cascade Theater in Reading. Join the 2017 cast as they compete for the ultimate prize, the Champions Trophy. Get your tickets to the show and vote for your favorite dancer at ospshasta.org or call 244-0118. Sponsored by Partnership Health, Results Radio, KRCR Channel 7, and KCBU Fox Channel 20. One Safe Place, together we change lives.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Have you ever wondered why absolute God-given moral values are so important? Morals that come from God cannot be changed by the whim of man regardless of social pressures. On the contrary, man-created morals have no absolute standard and are constantly in the process of a downward change and decay. If we want to save this country and our families from decaying from the inside out, we must return to and follow the principles God has established. If you're looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
Not all solar companies are the same. Neither are all solar installations. Hi, I'm Bruce Blake, president of Powerhouse Solar. Your solar design should be based upon what gives your family the best results, not what is easiest to install. Ground rack, roof mount, sun tracker, you name it. Powerhouse Solar does it all, but not all solar companies offer all these options. Powerhouse Solar is a SunPower Elite dealer, which means your family is getting the best, most efficient solar panel on the market, combined with a system design and installation that fits your exact energy needs. And let's face it, a cookie-cutter system can not only cost you more in the long run, but be less efficient. Since 2003, Powerhouse Solar has been your solar energy expert. Let us design the perfect SunPower solar energy system for your family. Call Powerhouse Solar today, and let us show you how to get the power of the sun working for you.
Call Powerhouse Solar at 275-5600 or visit them on the web at powerhousesolar.com.
time has come for 51. Becoming the 51st state won't be easy, but it'll be worth it. Tired of California passing laws that make your life more difficult?
Find out what's happening and how you can help every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. with Wynn Carpenter
and Terry Raposa
here on KCNR 1460 a.m.
Listen for Jefferson State of Mind now at its new time, Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock here on AM 1460 KCNR.
It takes you to your place of work. It gets your kids to school, practice, recitals, and to visit friends and relatives. It takes you on your adventures, and it brings you home again safely. It's your car or light truck, and for most of us, it's our second biggest investment. So when your vehicle needs routine maintenance or major repairs, it just makes sense to go with the very best. Here in Shasta County, that means one thing: Advanced Automotive. Advanced Automotive is Redding's only shop that's listed on RepairPal.com, part of a nationwide network of shops that are regularly evaluated for superior training, guaranteed fair prices, and excellent customer reviews. And Advanced Automotive backs up their work with something you won't get anywhere else, a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty. Don't just take my word for it. Log on to RepairPal.com, enter your make, model, and zip code, and read what your friends and neighbors have to say. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423.
Welcome back for one more segment of Boomer Tech Radio, and we have an echo in here, and I know exactly what that is. A little technical glitch. Well, okay, for those of you who are sort of nerds who like to hear about the behind-the-scenes stuff, we record this program on a MacBook Pro using the Audacity recording system. We have a little PV USB mixer with our Sennheiser headphones, and so one of the things about using an external USB mixer is that it can loop back when if you set it up wrong. And in this case, I had the speakers turned up on the MacBook Pro as we were listening to the previous segment, so picked up a little bit of feedback. Anyway,
you could have started this segment
over. I could have started it over, but you know what?
This is kind of ambiance.
This is ambiance. This is live. This shows that when you don't have an entire staff of technicians and you have to do everything by yourself, every once in a while you have to get a little creative.
This is the portable studio.
This is the portable studio. Neat thing is that we can do recordings that normally would have required truckloads of equipment and a huge staff all by our lonesome. It brings a homey ambiance.
On a tabletop.
That's right, on a tabletop. Hey, a lot of people's favorite day is coming up, especially if you are fans of Amazon. Prime Day is coming up on the 11th. Deals will start showing up about 9 p.m. Pacific on Monday the 10th. It's a 30-hour sale. New items added every hour.
Every 5 minutes.
Every 5 minutes.
In some cases, I read that somewhere.
Yeah.
That, you know, well, they do every hour, but this year they're planning on offering stuff every 5 minutes.
Now you can.
How could you possibly keep up with that? I can't watch this 30 hours straight.
No.
And it takes you 5 minutes to purchase something. You might have missed something else.
Yeah. So, of course, you'll need a Prime membership, which I recommend. You know, especially if you have gotten a Kindle tablet. Which, if I, for those of you who ask me about, well, what device should I get? I want to have something that's an all-round device. Hard to beat a Kindle tablet, especially the Fire HD 8. Nice little portable, or even the HD 7.
They don't have Prime membership on sale on Prime Day, I don't believe.
No. It'll still cost you $99 a year. We use
more than that now, $129 or whatever it is.
Let's see here.
Didn't they up the ante a little bit?
I gotta look.
It got to $99. I don't remember.
They raised it.
You're
from
the one with the membership.
Yeah.
I don't need one.
I still consider it for the stuff because you get the shipping, and we order just enough stuff to make that. Now we don't order the dog food and things like that through Prime because that
maybe we should.
But when we do order items through Amazon, and we will buy local when we can. The trouble is a lot of the stuff that I get, you're going to find these headphones on the shelf at the Walmart.
Well, true. So how do you sift through some of this stuff? Amazon's making it easier this year to find the best deals and the things that you're interested in. by breaking them up into categories. So, you know, if you're looking for shoes and all they're showing is laptops, that doesn't do you a whole lot of good,
yeah.
Right?
Amazon offering exclusive deals for Alexa voice shoppers, including $50 off the Bose SoundLink Bluetooth speaker, which we've got one of these little bricks. It's the size of a blackboard eraser, for those of you who are old school enough to remember what size that is. And it pumps out an amazing amount of sound. And it's got a hell of a battery life. We listen to podcasts when we do take our occasional long drives, and the thing lasts for hours and hours and hours. And because our car system, yes, we have a car that does not have a Bluetooth, nor does it have an audio jack. So we take our little Bose speaker and put it up on the dashboard. Sounds great.
It works just fine. I see here, though, according to this article in Cult of Mac, is that you can sign up for a 30-day free trial of Amazon Prime, and that apparently is sufficient for you to take advantage of the sales on Prime Day.
Yeah.
Which is July 11th, correct?
July the 11th.
That's this coming up shortly as we have recorded this particular episode.
And I'm going to take a look at it. I don't. There's nothing that we need particularly right at this moment, but well, that's where we bought our Alexa, our Echo. On I just triggered speakers all over the world.
That's okay. I said computer earlier, and that just sets ours off. So.
Yeah, so
you can program it to say.
Yeah, you can
respond to that.
You can actually have your Amazon Echo speaker respond to the word computer, and it'll
it
fire.
Might not recognize
if you want to
say
it
that way.
Do it in your best Picard voice. So Prime Day coming up, looks like, and among the things, a 1/3 discount on that 60-inch television. Maybe you need to tell your people at work about that.
Yep.
However, I doubt if the government is going to go into a Prime membership just so that they can do. They have to contract all this stuff out. Speaking of Star Trek stuff, boy, are we getting closer to the holodeck or what, according to this article in Mashable. A mixed reality room that is so trippy it might leave you questioning reality. Theorize Studio brings an empty room to life with motion tracking and augmented reality. The projections in the room change as you interact with them. They offer environments like walking upstairs, pushing down walls, jumping on surfaces, and walking through doors that look like a portal. Now, there's a lot of entertainment value for this, but it's also a very immersive simulator system. That between wearing the glasses and then projections in the room, you're on a holodeck. So if you want to recreate a rescue scenario, we know of at least one place that uses a virtual reality simulator for firefighters, where they can program in these different parameters, and the firefighters in training have to decide how would they approach this problem, and the simulator determines whether they were successful or not. Because even though fires are inherently unpredictable, they do have to follow certain physics, right?
Yep. So this, on the Boomer Tech, what do you call it?
Our site?
Flipboard page.
Yeah, the
there
flipboard
we go.
Page.
Oh, man, it's late. I'm having a thing. They have a little video of this thing in action. And it's really cool because it tracks your motions and it responds accordingly. So they have this one example of somebody walking across the floor, and they take a jump, and the flooring, it's a 3D illusion, really, if you will. So the visual is there that you can climb upstairs.
Mm.
You can push on walls, and you push on the wall, and it knocks this wall down, and then there's a whole other scene behind that.
Interesting.
It's really neat. And so you can, it's like those chalk paintings that you see pictures of on sidewalks or roadways, and it looks like there's a hole in the road or you're looking into a cabin or something of that nature. And the portals do look like door frames.
Yeah.
And they will have things in there, and when you move the image moves there. And so really, when you look at this, kind of go, okay, what's real? It really fools you.
Exactly. And you can get really immersed, even just a flat screen video game environment or watching Alien on the big screen. When that thing comes out, you jump, baby. we've had a, you know, just watching at home, something will leap out and, you know, your body reacts to that. So if you're in this immersive environment, it's just going to magnify it by so much more.
It's
so
interesting. If you've ever tried on a virtual reality headset, it's quite similar because you look around and you see these things and your brain thinks they're actually there.
Yeah,
now, the
yeah.
difference between this is that you can actually move. You're not it's sitting in a potato.
Right,
so you're moving and interacting with this projection. And so the motion somewhat matches the eye and the brain. It's all put together, and it probably doesn't make you motion sick.
Yeah, now the objects are not solid like they would be in this in the Star Trek holodeck, but you could have shapes that have images projected upon them that would give you tactile feedback.
Right, and you could have pressure, you know, how much pressure you put on it does this or that, but it shows in the little video on the Flipboard article that they're actually pressing against the screen or the wall of the room, so you would have that tactile impression of actually pushing a wall over, and it's really cool. You got to check it out.
So one of the big technologies that is used in modern movies, now, if you are a movie nerd, as we are, we're the people who sit through the entire credits.
Well, I don't know if we're a movie nerd. We're just interested in the production values and the technical aspects.
Increasingly, the technical stuff.
Yeah, that's kind of makes us nerdy, I guess.
We will sit through the entire credits, often to the point we're like,
seen that effects house. Oh, there's a new one.
Yeah.
What do they do?
Yeah. But you often hear about, in the movie industry, about LIDAR scanning. Now, LIDAR is a little bit like radar, but it uses light to range and outline an object and to help build a computer model of a three-dimensional object. LIDAR scanning of people is often used to create these spectacular special effects that we take for granted in the modern movies. If you, some of the ones that, for example, the Guardians of the Galaxy Chapter 2 that came out used a lot of LIDAR scanning. The actors were on a green screen stage. And in order to match them to the
computer-generated background and creatures,
they had their motions had to be absolutely tracked using LIDAR and motion capture suits. So there's a new device out from a company called Karta. It's a handheld. Now, LIDAR equipment is incredibly expensive. This is a handheld device. It looks a little bit like a gaming console.
It has a screen on it that's about 7 inches wide, and it's a little bit bigger than that. So
you hold this thing up, and it actually sends laser beams around the room, invisible beams, and it creates a 3D map of the room and everything in it. And as you move around, you get the objects in the room scanned from different angles, so you actually build up a picture. We've seen this in the movies being used.
Well, there's medical things where they you know, are able to scan these things and then recreate it. So you can turn the image any which way, and you see the three-dimensional aspects of it, right?
Yeah. So these, if this system can be put on, say, for a drone, and even though the optics, say you're in a room that's full of smoke or otherwise obscured, or it's a hazardous environment, a drone could go in and actually give you a real-time image of what's going on in the room. Also, for things like architecture and interior design, able to quickly map out a room rather than sit there with a piece of paper and a ruler.
Well, my immediate thought with this is that if you are using it, say, in a walkthrough in a house that you're listing for sale, someone could go in the little booth that we were just talking about and virtually walk through the house and know what it looks like before they actually get there physically and have some sense of traffic flow and that kind of thing. Because it's kind of hard to imagine looking at pictures. You really don't have a good feel for how the house might work and where you would walk and maybe where you would put furniture. They do have ways of putting furniture virtually into a room. They have ways of doing that. But the being able to be there, so this is different from a drone video, for instance, or anything like that, where you could have a sense of space.
Right.
And the physicality of it and the size of it, what does that feel like? How big is that bathroom anyway?
Right. And unlike a photograph, you have precisely, you have precise points in space relative to each other. That's very handy for taking measurements and navigation. So the loop image that they show here on the Flipboard article is what appears to be a waterfront with some buildings rotating in 3D. And, of course, every point, every reference point is very precisely placed, whereas in an optical image, you can't tell exactly where something is in relation to something else. You can kind of guesstimate it. But this is a true 3D image as it rotates.
Well, and apparently this company, one of its standout abilities is to do the mapping in real time with no post-processing involved. In other words, you don't have to wait. And that's pretty remarkable. So I could see sending this and having it generate an image on the holographic phone they're talking about and various things like that. It's just a whole different way of showing somebody something.
Now, there's already plans to use these things for, like, archaeological sites. There's that cave in France where, as people have visited it, the CO2 that they expel and just moving around in it is starting to degrade the environment. So what they actually did is do a 3D scan of the interior of this thing, and they can recreate it in the nearby visitor center.
And things like that. Or I could see tons of kasundite. I never did say that word right. The case of historic restoration.
Yeah.
And archaeology and things like that. Thinking about that sort of thing and being able to recreate things, protect them, document them in different ways, or let people experience them.
So anyway, we'll see about these LiDAR units and the applications that they have. First responders, among the things listed was first responders.
There's definite law enforcement applications.
Yeah, yeah.
You could put this thing on a robot and send it in, and it would send back the imagery in 3D. You could plan out, you know, where things might be or areas that you've missed. And it definitely has uses already in surveying and architecture, in construction, being able to deal with this sort of thing. But there's all kinds of uses for this. I could see applications in clothing design, custom manufacturing of clothes that actually fit you, and all of these kind of things where they can have a 3D dimensional, you could see how a particular clothing design looks on you, style looks on you, and things like that. So all kinds of stuff.
Bad times in Redmond. Bad time to be a Microsoft lower echelon employee.
Yeah, I was going to say Redmond as in Redmond, Washington, with Microsoft.
Microsoft has revealed that it plans to cut thousands of jobs as part of a reorganization process that will see the software giant focus its efforts on the cloud. Layoffs expected to primarily impact Microsoft's sales force. About 10% of the company's total sales staff will be given walking papers. That's 3,000 jobs. Ooh, bad time. It's traditional for Microsoft to do a little reorganization this time of year. And, of course, with typical bureau speak, Microsoft is implementing changes to better serve our customers and partners.
New and improved, you know?
Today we are taking steps to notify some employees that their jobs are under consideration or that their positions will be eliminated. Like all companies, we evaluate our business on a regular basis. This can result in increased investment in some places and time to time redeployment in others. Don't you love corporate speak? It's like... It's sort of like government speak.
So I'm a little confused. Why should their sales take a hit, sales folks take a hit when the cloud? I don't understand the connection.
Well, because Microsoft's business model has been selling copies of Windows to, and this is probably the people who go to corporate accounts and say, okay, I'll take an order for 1,500 copies of Windows 10 to be deployed on your enterprise on your enterprise machines. Microsoft moves from software as a product to software as a service.
You don't
need salespeople. You don't need as many salespeople to accomplish these goals.
Got it. All right. So people plug in and they are on the system. I guess so.
The company is, of course, fighting against rivals like Amazon and Google. Their cloud and server business have been fueling the revenue lately, while the sales. Now that Windows 10 is rolled out, and it's supposedly the last operating system you'll ever need.
Right. Yeah, I'll believe that when I see it. As computer architecture changes, so must the operating system.
Yeah, well, supposedly Windows 10 will simply evolve with the times.
Theoretically.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Or what they're going to do is push everybody over into the cloud for that, so it resistance is futile.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. Well, in case we might as well pick on Facebook for a few minutes here.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Yes, the service people love to hate. Facebook, of course, just got done copying Snapchat features to build Instagram stories. Facebook now looking to borrow from another app. Social network is prepping Bonfire. It's a group chat app similar to one called House Party that launched last year. House Party comes from Live On Air.
Life On Air.
Yeah, Life On Air, my error. I have to apologize a little bit because all of a sudden my allergies have kicked in.
And now you're,
so I can barely see the screen through the...
Vision's all messed up because your eyes are messed up.
And my eyes are swelling and I'm sniffling, so... I'm not dying or anything. It's just an allergy attack, which is real fun during a quasi-live show. Facebook wants to quickly connect 2 billion users to their friends to have group chat rooms with video chat. Okay, let us count the ways how this can go terribly wrong. We know that Facebook Live video has already been... badly abused. But House Party is supposed to be... You know, we talked about video phones a little while ago. This is people from all over the country, all over the world, all getting on the video at the same time. How could this possibly go wrong?
Well, you can apparently try out House Party. And this article from The Next Web says it's a House Party... try that out as a fun, easy way to catch up with friends scattered across the globe, as it lets people drop in anytime they like. Sort of sounds like a bulletin board.
Yeah.
Sounds
all
like
with live feeds from all over the globe.
So I don't quite get it.
It sounds narcissistic to me.
Well, it sounds like a time eater up
there. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I don't have...
Well, that's Facebook in general.
I know. It's like... I guess it's a way to be there without being there. Maybe my impression of it. I don't delve into these things, so I'm not very good at kind of fathoming what they're doing. But do I seriously want to be in there? There's days where you just don't want people to see. You don't mind talking to them, but you do not want to be seen. Well, maybe that's a generational thing. Maybe I'm old school. But, you know, I love virtual meetings at work because you can put the audio on mute, no video virtual meetings at work.
Right,
it's through the bat phone, if you will.
Yeah, yeah.
We call it. And because you can put it on mute and have a side conversation about this guy is a jerk, or that really makes sense. Or you can roll your eyes and they can't hear you.
Right. And
so that you don't have the body language there. And you can sort of get a little pressure relief when you're bored because God is like, oh, my God.
So I'm trying to picture the group dynamics of this thing.
I don't know.
Yeah, and maybe it's an age thing.
Perhaps.
that I'm just not that enamored with. I mean, we've been promised video phones for a long time, and they haven't caught on because, as you said, who wants to be sitting there in the fuzzy bunny slippers?
Right, and it's you know, could be dirty. Yeah. I mean,
It could be misused.
You know, you don't have any clean laundry to wear or something. Yeah. I don't know.
Hey, that's all the time for this week's Boomer Tech Radio. BoomerTechRadio@gmail.com. Check out the website, BoomerTech.com. It's Bob and Brenda this week saying, wherever you go, whatever you do, be safe and be good to each other.
From working families to small businesses or government agencies, it's important to have quality care for the cars and light trucks that are essential to getting the job done. Here in the North State, that means Advanced Automotive of Reading, where they pride themselves on old-fashioned honesty, quality personal attention, and personal responsibility to get the work done right the first time. Why else would they be able to offer a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty on their repairs? Every mechanic at Advanced Automotive is an ASC-certified master technician who takes pride in their work, something that's earned Advanced Automotive recognition from RepairPal.com, the leading provider of auto repair and maintenance information to consumers. From the family minivan, your daughter's first car, or a yard full of company vehicles, Advanced Automotive should be your go-to repair shop. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 5756 F Westside Road. Call 244-4423 or check the customer reviews at RepairPal.com.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
I'm Ron DeRockstra. The G20 summit is over, but not before President Trump and the heads of China and Japan spent time discussing the situation in North Korea.
President Trump said that the Japanese Prime Minister is very, very focused on this issue. And in his meeting with the Chinese president, he complimented the Chinese president for what he's done so far in terms of dealing with North Korea.
That's reporter Darlene Superville in Hamburg. British Prime Minister Theresa May says she's agreed to work with other G20 member states to help counter violent extremism in their countries.
We can change the balance of the fight when we work together. And I'm confident that through these efforts, we will...